Clark. I met Karen when she and I both did a recording on a CD set with Teresa Garrison from the Success Factory. You may remember, if you've listened, Teresa did a call for us on team building a few months ago. So we're very excited to have Karen. You guys have told us that you want insight, information on streamlining your social media, and Karen is an expert. She not only knows about social media, but she's great because her background is direct selling. So, Karen, welcome. Thank you for agreeing to invest in our ambitious women.
Oh, thank you so much. It's such an honor, and I'm really delighted to meet everybody online.
Oh, so great. So, I think we're just going to jump right in, Karen, because you have so much valuable information to share. I want to pack as much of it in as we can. Give us a little of your background. How did you become an expert in social media as it relates to direct selling?
Oh, well, it's kind of an interesting story. This is back in 1998. I had been invited to a home party for a company that looked really cool. I had never heard of it before, but I was unable to come to the party, so I decided to host one. You know, as you do, you know, the representative said, if you can't make it, why don't you book your own? I'm like, okay, that sounds good. Well, I had been a military mom at the time living on base, and we had the opportunity to attend different home parties almost every day. Like, it was like our social life was going to the different home parties. It was great because a lot of times you're a stay-at-home mom because you move around a lot and things like that. Well, when I held this party, we had 45 people come, and we booked so many parties off of this party. It was ridiculous. And then the representative said she was actually quitting to go do something else. And a friend of mine and I, who were hosting it together, looked at each other and were like, oh, maybe we should do this. So we just jumped in. Literally, that was how it happened. I had never considered doing a home-based business. I had been a teacher. And as a lot of us do, we stay home with our kids for a little bit, thinking we're going to go back to work someday. And then you try to extend that as long as you can. So I was kind of stalling in the going back to work thing because I really couldn't imagine leaving my kids in daycare all day. So when this opportunity came, I just really saw it as not only a product that I was passionate about and loved already and saw the response of my friends, but I knew it would be a way to help me be able to stay home. So got off to a great start, met all my fast start goals. I mean, really was booking it really hard and really loving it. And then about 6 weeks in, we got transferred. Or we found out we were getting transferred up to Florida. This was in Washington State. I'm sorry, we were in Florida. We were getting transferred to Washington. And I felt like the rug had really been pulled out from under me because I had such a great thing going. And so my cousin, who was a web designer at the time, and this was, again, back in 1998, so things were still very, very new internet-wise. I mean, we had just gotten colors on the screen and pictures. You know, it was really, really new back then. It's like centuries ago, right, in internet years. She said, you know, take it to the internet. And I had kind of been dabbling a little bit in the very early versions of blogging and things like that. And so I was like, sure. And I checked in with the company. They hadn't even bought their domain yet. Nobody had business. Most direct selling companies back then didn't even have a website because they really felt like if they took things to the internet, that would detract from the person-to-person selling, which there is an element of that. But basically, I talked them into it. They were like, cool. They ended up eventually bringing me in to do training and writing policy on internet and things like that. But I was able to actually start meeting people on my way to Washington. So I found that it was a great way to keep in touch with my Florida people and start meeting people in Washington through the different forums and email groups and things like that. And I found there was a lot of community online. And the most amazing thing is that I wasn't selling product, but people were seeking me out for the business opportunity. They're still to this day. I mean, that's going to be the easiest and best way to market your business is with the business opportunity in the home-based business. You might not make sales as much on your website or even in social media, but people are looking for ways to augment their income. So fast forward a few years, I rose to the top of the company, ended up, they moved me into a corporate position at one point. So the last 5 or 6 years, I did the training and program development and things like that for the company. But when I kind of outgrew that opportunity for a lot of reasons, I looked to what am I going to do next? I was very involved in the direct selling world by then. a chapter leader and state coordinator for the Direct Selling Women's Alliance. I was friends with lots of people in direct sales. And even though I loved all their products, I still, you know, I have everybody's products in my house. I'm wearing them every day. You know, I love them. There just was never one that I felt like, oh, I should go do that. It just felt like I needed to do something in a little bit of a bigger way. And people said, why don't you teach people how to do that internet thing? And so back, they didn't know. I mean, really, it was that way. I think it was 2008, 2009. Facebook was known, but it was more of a college kids thing. And it wasn't really out there as far as a marketing tool. And blogging and all of that was just starting to get some traction. So I'm like, all right, I'll try that. And so I do little workshops. I actually created my own little home party company called Bring Your Own Laptop Parties. Thought that'd be fun. People bring their laptops. We'd do like wine and websites or breakfast and blogging. It was really fun. And so I kind of got started doing workshops, helping people to do that. And I was running my direct selling business at the same time. But after about a year, I really saw the potential for making an even bigger impact by going to different companies or leaders and conducting workshops or speaking at conference or consulting and all that kind of stuff right at the time where they were finally ready to accept the internet. So, you know, 12 years later, 13 years, I mean, literally, we still get a lot of pushback. I know some of you have probably experienced that where they're nervous about it. And so I'm really on a mission to explain to people that there's the possibility of having a business that you use the internet and the technology skills at the same time as you are building relationships and working your business in traditional ways. So I've been doing that for about 5 or 6 years now.
Oh, wow. So What, Karen, what causes social media to work for direct selling, or does it? I mean, why? Yeah. What are some of the things we should do? What are some of the things we should avoid? Do you really think it works in our particular industry?
Yeah, it's one of those things where I hear from a lot of people that there's a lot of hesitation or maybe, I guess, apprehension about it because we're such a people-to-people industry. I mean, you literally want to be able to be in front of people, either making that eye contact and having conversations and reading their body signals, you know, so you know what needs you can fill and all that, and demonstrating the products, passing them around, showing people the benefits. It's so powerful. So the apprehension is that we're going to lose that personal touch if we do a lot of the online stuff. And I actually do agree with that to a certain extent. I mean, this is my life, teaching people how to use technology, but you'll see in my book, part of it is don't. Like, this is not your life. This is not your business. This is one marketing avenue, kind of like if you do a bridal fair or a home show. That's, you know, one marketing thing that you do, but it's not your entire business. So I look at it more as a way to meet people. But the fact of the matter is, we are really the original social network. If you think about it, I mean, what other business model leverages somebody else's network the way we do? Network marketing, direct sales, that's what it's all about. And that's what social media is. So when you have, you know, a friend, maybe you're doing a one-on-one with them and you ask them for a referral at the end. Or maybe you do home parties and you have your hostess invite her friends. This is the way to get somebody else's network into the fold in your business. And that's really what social media is. So I think it really is ideal in that way, as long as you have the idea of it's all about building the relationship once you meet the person. It's not about only running your business online. So I recommend people even take it offline as soon as possible. Once you know somebody's interested, ask permission to give them a call or private message them. And if they're local to you, still ask them to meet for coffee or invite them to one of your demonstrations. As much as you can, continue doing your personal traditional business, but think of the social media as a way to meet people. And as a way to keep
that's
in touch
so
with people.
Great, Karen. You know, I've found that I love the idea take it offline as quickly as possible. I've found that if people find you online or you meet online, one thing I've been doing, and so I'd love your feedback on this, is asking them if they'd be willing to Skype or would they be willing to FaceTime so that I can see them too and they can see me, right? Do you think that that's a good idea? Do you think it's have I been creeping people out? What would you do?
You know what? A couple of years ago, people might have gotten more nervous about it, but now with the advent of all of the live video and people are seeing video in their social media, they're much more open to it. And there's nothing more powerful than actually looking at somebody face to face. And so that's the best way, I think, to really get that trust built up with somebody is to do that. So that's absolutely brilliant. I mean, you might get some people who are like, oh no, I don't do video. And that's fine. You could still do just an audio call or something like that. But if you can get them on video face to face, then it's really no different than being in person, except they can't hold your product, you know, sniff
right.
it, whatever.
Well, and I found sometimes they'll be like, I'm not sure. And I'll say, trust me, I work at home. If I'm not out and about,
right.
my hair is in a ponytail. I'm not looking like,
right.
you know, $10 million. It's okay. I just want to be real
yeah.
and talk to you and see your face. So, well,
yeah.
good. I'm glad to know
and
I'm not doing it, not scaring
no,
people away.
And also, what I found also with the video is the less, you know, polished that things are, the more people can relate to you anyway. So that is a great tactic to use to just disarm them so they feel like, okay, I can just be myself with this person. Because if you actually are doing a lot of video where everything is just perfect and your background is just amazing and your hair and your makeup and everything is just perfect, even when it's just a casual pick up the phone and let's talk on Skype or FaceTime, then people start feeling like, ooh, I'm not that perfect. And it makes it harder to recruit or to sponsor. So the more real you can be with people, just like in real life, you want to be relatable. It makes a big difference.
Wow, so true. So tell me, what makes social media for us in direct selling and network marketing different than it is for, you know, the traditional business?
Yeah, so there are a few things to consider, and this is why I love being a resource for this industry, because there are so many people that teach social media out there but don't quite get the difference, or they're just not interested in really customizing it for our industry, because it's not exactly the same as, you know, a coach or an ice cream shop, right? We have some different things to consider, and so it's important to really consider these things. And one of them is the duplicability factor. So in network marketing, direct selling, we are always being potentially duplicated. Even if you're not a leader, even if you just started your business, people are watching what you do, and they're going to copy it whether you want them to or not. So, like, you can't be up there and saying, okay, everybody, we have to make 10 calls a day if you're not making your 10 calls a day yourself, right? So you want them to duplicate what you're doing, but the truth is that if you're on Facebook all day long, that's what they're going to do all day long. And it might even be that maybe you don't even have a downline yet, but you have friends or family or networking connections who are kind of getting a sense of what you are doing and how it's like, and they might be thinking of doing the business later down the road. Because if you're on Facebook all day long, they're going to think, oh, I can do this because I can just be on Facebook all day long. Well, then you get them on your team, and the next thing you know, they're like, I'm not successful. I'm not getting any sales. I'm not meeting any, you know, they start having struggles because it's not as duplicatable. Even if you're the most tech-savvy person in the industry and you are out there doing nothing but online business, you can recruit people. You can sign people up onto your team that are not going to be as tech-savvy as you. It's just not as duplicatable. So it's really important to consider keeping things very simple, managing your time, training, of course, if you do start to build a team where you want them to be able to do certain things. But you got to make it simple and easy because it's going to be duplicated. So manage your time, watch what you're saying online, how your behaviors are always a reflection of our business, just like in real life. You know, if you go to a Chamber of Commerce meeting in your local town, you have to go in, walk into it with the idea that somebody who's meeting you there could end up wanting to do business with you. And that's the whole goal. And you're going to, you know, make sure your nails aren't chipped and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So online, it's the same way. You want to put your best foot forward. And then another thing that's super important that a lot of people don't realize is we have issues with compliance. We're a regulated industry. You know, kind of like finance and, you know, health and medical and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. There are certain things you can and can't do online that it's actually the law. It's not just best practices. But like, for example, you can't make income claims online without a certain way of doing these legal disclosures. And a lot of your companies will provide that kind of verbiage in your policies and procedures. But unfortunately, sometimes people don't read those. So
right.
I like to get the word out there. There's things like you can't say, you know, our product cures cancer. You can't say that. Even some things like the before and afters of the weight loss products, there's certain things you have to say. And so you're going to, that's something that a lot of industries don't ever have to deal with. So you're going to want to make sure that you're really clear on that and follow your company's policies on that, because not only can you personally get in trouble, but the entire company can get sued. And there was a company recently that was shut down. They've come back up again since they've, you know, but they had some legal trouble because one of their leaders decided they were going to corner the college market. And what happened was their people started talking about things like, you don't need college. You can just join our business and make $1 million in the
Lord.
Business. And it spread like wildfire. And so parents were suing. I mean, it was just a big mess. They had some other troubles too, but you really want to be careful about what you say and do online. And so that can make people a little bit nervous, but it, for the most part, our companies have outlined that pretty well. So try not to be that, you know, rebellious rogue distributor that goes on and does your own thing despite what the policies are, because most of the time they're in place to protect you and to protect the company. And the business you built, right, because it could go away in a heartbeat, or you could be terminated because you're violating your policies. But there is one more thing I want to mention, too, and that is, so if you're in a company, a direct selling company, and there's hundreds or thousands of other representatives that are really offering the same product, because of social media, it's not quite the same as before the internet marketing, where you might be the only one in your town or the only one in your network or the only one in your social circle doing that. And so there wasn't a lot of overlap. But online, there is. So it's even more important to really be yourself and be unique and be posting things that are more of a reflection of who you are as a person, what your interests are, and not just post the same things that everybody else is doing. Because they could just go to the company page and order the products if that's what they wanted to do. What you really want is to build that relationship and have people get to know you so that they're loyal to you and really get a sense of, she's my consultant. She's the one that I know I can go to for questions. I'm going to learn something from her, and so on. So it's not just about selling your product. It's really about building that relationship and coming from a place of service so that you do create that loyal following on social media.
Okay, so that's the things we should be posting. Like that what,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just kind of thinking, Karen, like what has been being in my business done for me and how can it help you?
Right.
Not just,
exactly.
You know, here's the, okay. I just
think, well,
it's
and
so
a lot of us
that,
know.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No.
Well, I was just going to say, a lot of us, you know, especially if you've been in direct sales for a while, I might have gotten into it because I wanted to stay home with my kids, but I stayed in it because of the people, because of the community, because of the personal development that I experienced and the way it really changed my life, the products and the opportunity. So you want to be able to talk about those things. We all have our unique stories. And share that with your people because it really helps them connect to you and think about, wow, I want that too.
That's so cool. I just love the idea. You know, I have a friend who's really good at showing her lifestyle from her network marketing business, you know, her family and the things they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then occasionally she throws that in. So, and she says she gets business from online, but she doesn't talk about her business all the time, right? She just shows her lifestyle. So I think that that's really a great insight for everyone. I don't think, me personally, if people just keep posting about, you know, buy my candles, my jewelry, my this, my that, all of a sudden I'm like, I don't even want to see it anymore, right? I mean, I know they're there. I know what they do, and I need those things. I can reach out to them.
Yeah.
So I know. So here's one for us. Social media can suck your time. You can go into the, I don't know, black hole of social media. Well, you know what I mean? You've looked up before. I know, even though you're an expert, Karen, this has happened to you. You think, oh, I'm going to just do this one quick thing on Twitter. And the next thing you know, 25 minutes later, you're still on Twitter. So how do you manage it all? What is your coaching to the ladies to make sure that they don't use the 3 hours they've set aside to do their business and all of a sudden they've not called one person or made a personal connection because they went into the black hole of social media? What do you recommend?
It's such a danger. Well, and the thing is, it's, you know, Facebook in particular, their whole job is to keep you on there all day. I mean, they're offering so many different types of services and connections and things like that, that you could sit there and one thing leads to another. And next thing you know, it's time to go pick up the kids. It's very, very alluring. And, you know, there's a whole science behind how they do that and it works. So you've really got to be disciplined. And so one of the things that I recommend is something I call social media CPR. And I like these little acronyms just because it's easy to follow and it's a time saver. But what it does is if you do this, you can handle your social media in about 20 minutes if you work on one main platform to concentrate on. And so the C and the P and the R all stand for something. And the way I do it is, so you're getting onto your Facebook, which, in, you know, it's my favorite right now at the moment. That's the one I go on first thing in the morning. And the C stands for commenting. And what I recommend is commenting on 3 to 5 different things in your main newsfeed. So posts that your connections have made. It might be other pages. If you have a business page of your own, you can actually comment as your business page on another business page. So, like, I like to follow things like Inc. Magazine or Entrepreneur Magazine because their audience is somebody that might be interested in my things. So I'll look at one of their posts, make a nice, meaningful comment on there, and then I get exposure to my business among their network. But it might also just be friends. So those of you that got friends and networking connections, maybe people you've met in groups or something like that in your newsfeed, if you're commenting on 3 to 5 different people's posts, it exposes you to that person. The person who posted originally that you're commenting on, they love it. Everybody's like, did they give me likes today? Did they give me comments today? I mean, we all just like to get that feedback. Like, okay, this is resonating with somebody. I posted something they're interested in. That feels great. So when you comment on something, it there's a little subtle bonding thing that happens there. So if you want to be really smart and strategic about it, you would do that with people who you want to build a little bit deeper relationship with because they'll start to appreciate that you're interacting with their posts. And now I don't mean going on and marketing, promoting your business in the post, really adding some thought to it, keeping the conversation going. It could just be a random person also. You don't always have to do it on somebody you want to do business with. But the idea is it gets you to be actually interacting. A lot of times people will go on social media and, you know, they take some time to create a post and then they get off and they're not really being social. They're really just all about themselves and their own posts. So I want to make sure that people are getting out there and interacting. And then, of course, it, you know, just organically will give you exposure to other people's networks when you do that. And that could be within groups or on your personal timeline, you know, newsfeed or on other pages. So that's the C. Commenting on 3 to 5 things. If it's Twitter, same thing. Pinterest, same thing. Actually, this works for any of the social platforms, whatever one your favorite one is. You want to make sure you're interacting. And then the P stands for posting. So obviously, you want to post something. Typically, on Facebook, you're going to want to post at least once a day. Now, as far as what time to post and all of that, it varies. If you ask 10 different experts what's the best time to post, they'll give you 10 different answers because it really is based on your own audience. Like, I like to post in the morning because I can post at 7 o'clock in the morning, go take my kids to school, come back, and then, you know, check in for comments and things. It's convenient for me. But when I looked at my analytics on my business page, it showed that the best time was 8 o'clock at night. So I think what's happening is my audience, because I do tend to have a lot of moms, work-at-home moms, in my audience, they wait till the kids go to bed and then they go hang out on their Facebook. So I started doing some at night and one in the morning as well. And, you know, it can vary according to the time of the year even. So the main, I guess, point I would like to make about posting is being consistent about it and then also making sure that you're mostly posting things that are of value to the readers and not always the buy my stuff, join my team, book a party kind of stuff because you want to encourage interaction. So when you're always posting about your product, they're less likely to actually comment on it or click like. And then if they're not getting a lot of interaction, you get less visibility on Facebook in particular. But posting consistently, timing-wise, you know, like I said, it varies on the other tools. Like Twitter, you kind of want to post a little bit more than once a day. A lot of people use schedulers for Twitter, but Pinterest, I do Pinterest when I'm looking for something, and then I kind of get on it and go crazy, but it might just be once a week. LinkedIn, same thing. LinkedIn moves a lot slower, so you could do once or twice a week on LinkedIn. It's not a big deal. Facebook is really the only one that I would say you really kind of need to be on there at least once a day just because of the way the algorithm works. Facebook will reward you if you're being consistent. So that's the posting part. And then the R stands for replying. And this is always kind of a funny one to talk about because I want to make sure that if somebody is directing a comment toward you, that you respond to them. And I feel like I shouldn't have to teach people this, but you'd be surprised at how people don't go back and check for things they need to respond to. And I think about, like, in real life, you know, if you were at some kind of a networking meeting and you shared something about your business or something you're working on, and people made comments back to you about, wow, that sounds really neat, tell me more, you wouldn't just sit there, right? You would reply to them in real life. But it's like, really, we don't do that. But online, for some reason, people will post something, and they might get 5 or 6 comments. And then they go the next day, they post something else, and you don't ever know if they even read the comments, much less responded. So one of your jobs every day will be to go check if there's anything to respond to. Now, you might get a thread that, you know, you have 10, 20, 50 comments on. It's not like you have to go and respond to each one individually. You could just try to be the last one to comment so that everybody sees that you checked in. The idea being that you want people to know you're actually reading the comments. You're hands-on. You're there. Not that you're just, you know, spouting your own wisdom and then walking away. So CPR is, if you do those things, in fact, I challenge people listening to really try to just do those 3 things every day for the next 2 weeks, and you'll find your interaction goes up a lot by being consistent, being interactive, and showing people that you really are social. It does make a big difference. And it saves you time, like I said, so 15 minutes. Now, creating the post might take a little bit longer. Some people like to plan them ahead. Some people like to just scroll through the newsfeed and find something to share. So that part might take a little bit longer, but the mechanics of commenting, posting, and replying, you can get it done in 15, 20 minutes.
That is so great because we all know if you have a plan, right, you work your plan. We've all learned that in direct selling and network marketing. So have a plan for this time chunk in your day. So here's another question I have for you, Karen, because I've had the pleasure of hearing you a couple times, and I want you to share with the ladies because it's helped me so much. You have another formula, not just CPR. You also have 911, as I recall. It is 911, right?
Yep, that's right.
Tell the ambitious women what your thinking is behind the 911 code and how they can apply it to their social media.
Yeah, this is one of my other favorite things to share because it makes a huge impact. So in direct sales in particular, the thing that's the easiest to talk about and the thing we're most excited about is our products and our specials and book a party and join my team and all of those wonderful things that we love to talk because it's exciting and we want people to have that benefit and to change their lives too. So we want to shout it from the mountaintop. Well, unfortunately, people don't want to hear it. They certainly don't want to hear it every day, several times a week, because what will happen is, if you think about it like in real life, if you were to contact all of your friends about your opportunity or about the monthly specials, let's say, and if every day you were to say something else about a new product or another feature or something like that, pretty soon, actually very shortly, they would start blocking your calls or just not answering. And the same thing is true online. If you're always talking about a salesy kind of post, people will tune you out or they unfollow you or they block you. And what's even worse is an industry as the whole, for network marketing, direct selling, we already are up against kind of a reputation of being pushy, or some people, you know, we're so worried about it ourselves, and you might talk to friends and family like, oh, no, she's going to try to sell me something. We are avoiding that at all costs in real life, but for some reason online, people forget all their manners and start doing a lot of that. So what I've done is I've come up with the 911 code because I feel it counteracts that and actually uplifts our reputation by showing people how service-minded we really are. And, I mean, after all, we really do care about people, and we want people to experience our product and the difference it's made for us. But you can do that in a way that seems a little counterintuitive, but it really, really works. And so the 9 and the 1 and the 1 have to do with a proportion of the types of posts that you put in your social media, so the content that you're putting out there. And it's going to be a shock to some people because they're like, what? I'm totally doing the opposite. But it should be 9 non-marketing posts to every 1 promotional post. And then the second 1 is to throw in a casual or personal post that really lets people get to know you and has nothing to do with business. So this could happen in the course of a week. It could happen over a couple days. If you have a lot to say, you just have to balance it out with the non-marketing. So the 9 non-marketing, it's not that it has nothing to do with your business, but it's not asking for sale. And it's not, you know, blatantly promoting your product, your opportunity. So, for example, if you sold a health and wellness product, you might share a healthy recipe. You might share a fitness routine. You might share some fitness gear or, you know, something like that that's about your general topic where you're really establishing yourself as a resource for people who are interested in these kinds of things, so that the one time when you do say, buy my stuff, look at this special, did you know we have this, here's where you can buy it, they're much more likely to trust that you have their interest at heart, and they're going to either buy it or share it or comment on it. They'll interact with it more because they don't feel so much like you're all about making the sale. You're really thinking about, how can I educate people about my topic? Mm-hmm. And then the one personal or casual is really kind of a, you know, if all you ever talked about when you met people in real life was your business, they get bored very quickly and they don't ever feel like they get to know you. Like, okay, now I know a lot about your business, but who are you? So you really want to do something where it could be sharing an inspirational quote or a video. It could be asking them a question. It could be talking about, you know, what's your favorite vacation place? I love going to Hawaii. You know, something like that where it's not really related to your business at all. And what that does is build up rapport so that people really feel like she's a normal person and I'm kind of like that. And it just builds that rapport up, which is really great. So 9 non-marketing, 1 promotional, and then 1 personal or casual. And like I said, so maybe you have a big product launch going on and you really have a lot of things to say about your product. You just balance it out with more of the non-marketing. And sometimes you can kind of counter that also with, maybe I've got, you know, the company provided 10 pictures of our new products. Instead of making 10 posts about those, you can create 1 post where you upload 10 pictures. You know, so it's not overwhelming the newsfeed of all your connections where, oh, my gosh, here's another
product.
And then
if they want to keep looking, they can look
exactly
at all the pictures.
Exactly. They can scroll
okay.
through. Yeah. And, you know, everybody knows what you do. You know, it's not like you have
yeah.
to tell them every day. So it's very,
yeah.
very true. And they want to learn from you and they're interested, but you just need to kind of balance things out. It makes a big difference. So, again, try that for a couple of weeks and see if it makes a difference. And I'm pretty sure it will.
Wow. You have so much great information. I want to remind the ladies, if you want to ask a question, Karen said she'd be willing to take questions. So if you do want to ask a question, hit *2, and Madison will bring you in when we do that. I just have a couple other things I want to ask you, Karen, if that's okay. I know we're stretching the time,
sure.
which may mean less questions. But, you know, how do you feel about things you see going on with direct sellers? Because I know you speak for different companies. You know, what are the best things you see they've been doing on social media? You know, Periscope's all the rage right now, it seems, and Pinterest. Does it depend on your, you know, what your company offers, or are there things that you just see working for everybody? YouTube, you know, has been there for so long, but it seems we see more and more of it now. So I would just like to ask for your expertise.
Yeah, so I have to say one of the best things that's going on right now is this live video or even pre-recorded video like on YouTube. It's,
mm-hmm.
again, such a relationship builder. Whether it's a selling opportunity or just a casual conversation, or for those of you that have a team doing training, there's just nothing that beats that connection you can make. And so Periscope is very hot right now. I have some mixed feelings about it. I think it works for some people. And in some instances, your audience, your regular audience might not be there. So sometimes you end up getting randoms and then a lot of, you know, trolling comments and things. So it can be a little frustrating for some people. But if you're comfortable using that, there are some people that are really rocking it and doing a great job meeting new people. And offering training and things like that. YouTube, again, awesome way to build your brand as a personal, you know, who are you and what are you all about?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a private video that you're sharing within your own network or something you put out public and bring in some people from YouTube. What I have to say is that some people who have learned the magic of the search engines are way exceeding the rest. And I'll tell you this really simply. This is not something that would break policy or anything like that with your companies. But if you think about what is it that people type into the search engines to find some of the things that you offer. So you might sell jewelry, for example. Somebody might go to Google, and this is somebody that knows nothing about you, never even heard of your company, but they might go to, you know, the search engine and type out, you know, a bracelet for how, you know, best bracelet for my wedding. So what you would do then is create a video or even just a regular post or a picture or something that says something with those words in it, because your social media sites, your Facebook business page, not your personal profile, but a business page, your Pinterest, your Instagram, your LinkedIn, all of those are indexed by the search engines just like regular websites. So you'd create a post saying, oh my gosh, this is the best bracelet for a wedding. Isn't this beautiful? And then you, I mean, literally people will be Googling that and your post can come up as one of the options for them to click on. And so I've been teaching this over the last 6 months or so, and the people who are doing it are like, oh my gosh, I can't even believe it. It's making a big, big difference. And think about also maybe something that is maybe a lesser known idea. You know, there might be a million other sites offering wedding bracelets. So if you think about it and like, how can I niche it down a little bit, you know, make it a little more narrow? You can do research on search engine optimization, all that. But just really think like, okay, how can I make it a little, like maybe it's bracelets for my flower girl in my wedding, right? So it's like narrowing it down a little bit more. You might not get as many hits or it might not show up as well. But if even 10 people find that post and you have something they want and you get 10 sales out of it, it was free for you to do it, right? So that aspect works really well. So combination of the video and that, I mean, even on YouTube, if you put up videos, there's an opportunity to put text underneath to describe it. And most people are not putting that. They maybe put a title, but they forget to put the words. And Google sees the words that you put out there. So anytime you're doing something in social media, if you think about what keywords can I include that people are actually searching for, you can rise straight to the top in a very quick time, quick amount of time.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Karen, what do you think the next big thing is going to be in social media?
Well, it's interesting because, again, going back to the video, I feel like I don't, you know, maybe in my next book I'm going to include a whole thing on doing video because it really is a big thing. So Facebook just came out with the ability to do Facebook Live, which they had only offered to our celebrities at one point, and now it's on everybody's Facebook business page through the Pages app. A lot of people don't realize there was a separate app for managing business pages. But if you go in through the Pages app, now instead of choosing between text and picture or video, you can choose Facebook Live. And it makes it a lot like Periscope, where, you know, you start it, you give it a title, and then you start talking, and you're live on your page. That is going to be a game changer, I think, for people because it shows up higher in the news feed. Facebook has even said they're going to reward live video. They're trying to, again, make themselves a resource for lots of information and news. But also it goes back to that whole connecting thing with video. And if most of your people are already on Facebook, it makes sense to do something that's on Facebook and that Facebook has already said it's going to increase the reach for. So that's something that people should really start thinking about. Maybe get yourself a little tripod if you haven't already been doing that with Periscope, or, you know, you just need a smartphone, really. You can hold it there. But I like the idea, somebody mentioned to me the other day, of having a weekly, broadcast. Once a week. So it could be your Fun Friday thing or Facebook Friday, to where people look forward to watching your show on the internet. And it's kind of like, if you think about it, like podcasting or something like that, it would be a great way for people to count on when to see you and look forward to it without having it be coming up so often in their newsfeed. You know, on Periscope, people have to go to the app to look at it. But on Facebook, since they're already on their Facebook, sometimes the people that are posting a lot of these live videos, it feels like an interruption. So I like the balance of, you know, scheduling it or figuring out, you know, what's a good day for me to do that and then showing that. But that's going to be really, really powerful. And, you know, let me just mention one more thing about the whole video thing. I took forever to want to be on video. I really did, because I was like, nah, I don't want to have to brush my hair and get my makeup on and all that. In fact, in my direct selling business, I actually sent my product to somebody who used it in their preschool, and she made videos demonstrating my product because she got the free, you know, the free product for me, because that's how much I did not want to be on video myself. So over the years, I've turned around that whole attitude, because I've realized that you really just want to be yourself. You can't, just like in anything, you can't compare yourself to other people. Don't worry about what people are going to think. The right people will connect to you and relate to you. So if you're one of those that are thinking, I really don't want to do this live video, I would challenge you to just give it a shot. Maybe, you know, in a small way, tell a few of your friends to come and look at it so that you can get feedback from them. And don't worry about everything being perfect. It's really more about making that relationship and that connection work.
Oh, wow. That is such great information, Karen. I have one last question for you as we wrap up our time together, because there was someone that said to me this weekend at the conference, I've never been on Facebook. What do I do? Well, I don't think most of the ladies are that new, but if you're somebody that's new and just starting out, you know, what is your recommendation? Where should they start so that it doesn't feel overwhelming for them, but it can be a really good experience?
Yeah, it's one of those things, and I do know people like that, and I try not to look at them like they have two heads, but it's just like, wow, I just can't imagine a life like that, because it's enriched my life, and I've met so many friends, and I just, they're going to love it, right? So my advice would be to start out with just one. In fact, most people should really just be concentrating on one, even though I might teach about Pinterest and Instagram and all that. Pick your favorite, or pick where you think most of your audience is going to be. So if you hear a lot of talk about Facebook, that might be a great one. The odds are better there of meeting more people, just because that's where a lot of people are. But really look at it as something that you can do simply, and then using that CPR so it doesn't have to be overwhelming. There's some really simple instructions you can get on how to set up a business page and use that, or even just starting out with your personal profile until your network is built up. But don't feel like you have to go nuts on it. Something as simple as just posting once a day and making connections with people that you already know will be fine. And then the idea is to be comfortable enough to where you can expand as you go forward. You'll decide, okay, I want to do a little bit more, or maybe I want to participate in groups, and let yourself just grow that expertise naturally. But I would really caution against discounting social media altogether. You know, it used to be when a company didn't have a website, you thought, oh, that's not a real established company. They don't have a website. Well, nowadays people are looking for, where's her Facebook page? Or where's her Twitter? Or how can I connect to her on social media? They really are, and they feel like, oh, well, she's not really marketing her business that much if she doesn't even have a Facebook or a Twitter. So I would encourage you to at least pick one and participate in a way that's easy for you to replicate on a regular basis and be consistent on. And try to open up and enjoy it, and think about it as just another way to meet people. You can certainly take it offline, and I recommend that as soon as possible. Yeah. So it doesn't have to be an either or.
Thank you so much, Karen. I know, I mean, for me, I used to have a job or a business where I traveled all over the world, and now the only way I keep in touch with some of those people, getting to see that they're having grandchildren in Australia, right, is through social media. It makes it kind of fun. So I am so grateful you joined us, and I want to tell the ladies, we will post it in the Ambitious Women Success Club forum, but Karen's book is terrific. I confess, I have not read it yet, but I know three people who told me to read it, and I bought it when I asked Karen to do this call, and then with all the other things we've had going on, I haven't read it yet, but I'll probably read it on the plane to the next Ambitious Women's Conference, because that's my next big time to be able to do something fun like that. Karen's book is called Social Media for Direct Selling Representatives. And Karen's website is mybusinesspresence.com. There is so much great information just on your website, Karen, and I want to thank you for, because you obviously live what you're teaching. You're giving so much value to people so that then, you know, they want to do business with you.
Yeah.
And so I think that's just terrific. Madison will help us, ladies. She's always great like that. I'll send her the link for Karen's book from her website, and she'll make sure it's posted for all of us. But I just want to thank you, Karen. I hope at some point we get to see you at one of the Ambitious Women's Conferences, that we deeply appreciate you sharing your insight, because social media can be overwhelming and everybody's being told they have to do it. So thank you for the CPR and the 911. I mean, I took notes. I got them right all here. I'm ready. Okay, if I just do those two things, right, if I just implement those two things, I think I'm going to feel less inundated from my social media and more productive with it. So we really appreciate your time today. Thank you for investing in the Ambitious Women, and we hope this is the beginning of a wonderful relationship together.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Madison, you need to tell the ladies anything else before we wrap up?
No, ma'am. I'm all good here. I'll get everything posted in our Facebook group here in just the next couple minutes.
All right. Perfect. Thank you, everyone. Have an absolutely fantastic week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.